Hey, good morning, Northwoods Online. My name's Hope, and I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this weekend. You know, we want our online campus to be a community, and we want you to get plugged in. And so there are a couple of ways that you can do that. One of those is to join the chat. Introduce yourself. Say hi. We have volunteer hosts and a bunch of other people just like you who are tuning in online. So hop in that chat and get connected. You know, another way that you can form a community here on the online campus is just through prayer. And so we actually have an online prayer team. So if there's something in your life today that you need prayer for, just click on that live prayer button. Someone would be happy to pray with you this morning. It's hard to believe, but the holiday season is here and Christmas is just right around the corner. Here on our Peoria campus, we've actually already started getting ready for our Christmas production in December. And you know, we want to invite all of you guys to come and attend that. But also, if you call Northwoods Online your home, be thinking about how you can serve at the production this year. We would love to have you join one of our teams. Just go online to gonw.cc/ChristmasServe. You know, this series has been really incredible and powerful, and I have learned so much through it. And I'm so excited because today Pastor Cal is going to teach us about how we can walk in kingdom power. So why don't you get up on your feet, get ready to worship, because Northwoods Online starts right now.
Good morning, Northwoods. Why don't you stand up on your feet and let's worship the Lord.
Always free indeed. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. No, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Jesus, Jesus.
you are stronger than a thousand seas. Lord, and today that we declare that above all else, you are the great I am. We worship your name, Jesus. Come on, let's sing it out together.
I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one.
We all sing hallelujah. We say you are holy, Lord.
God Almighty, great I am.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. I want to see trials living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy. You're the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside me. God Almighty, great I am.
Come on, lift up your voice. You're the great I am.
Mountain shake before him, the team is running flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty.
Come on.
There is no power in heaven or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am, the great I am. Holy, holy, God Almighty.
Let's use our hands this morning. Let's put them up like this. Let's sing loud. Come on.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met him. And I was bleeding, but not a lot. And all my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
Come on, sing it out. You call my name.
You call my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness. Into your glorious day. You called my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness. Into your glorious day.
Now
your mercy has saved my soul. And now your freedom is all that I know.
Thank you, Jesus.
The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, oh, what a day. You called my name.
This morning we are free to worship. We are free to sing. So come on, let's shout it out together.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're God, we give you all honor and all praise. Jesus, we thank you because although we were sinners, God, you came down to this earth and you died for us. God, and although we deserved death and we don't deserve this life, God, you have made us worthy by the blood that was shed on that cross. God, so this morning we are grateful. We thank you, Lord. God, as we transition over to this offering, Lord, I ask that you multiply the resources that are about to be given. Lord, that they are able to further your kingdom, God, like you've intended it to do so, Lord. God, we know and we trust that you can do far greater things with 10% that we could ever do with 100%. Lord, so today we are giving back to you that already belongs to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, and that is why we're here, to praise your name. And you alone, for you alone are worthy. God, we pray all of these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat. Once again, we just want to say welcome to Northwest Community Church. It is our heart's desire to see you fulfill God's promises for your life today. And if you're new here today, welcome and thank you so much for choosing to worshiping with us. And hey, listen, if you're new, on that note, while this offering time is going on, feel no obligation whatsoever to have to give. We're just excited and we're just glad that you're here today. And before we get to this morning's message, which, by the way, how many of us have been blessed and empowered by this Invisible War series? Yeah, come on, let's give it up. Amen. Man, Pastor Cal has done a phenomenal job on teaching us and equipping us on how to be able to get rid of those strongholds that we may have in our lives today. But again, before we get there, we have some exciting news coming your way. So check out the screens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Northwoods. My name's Hope, and I am so glad that you've been here worshiping with us this weekend. You know, we have a lot of really awesome things happening around the church, and I want to tell you about just a few of those. First off, I want to invite all of you back here next weekend. We have a special guest speaker, Pastor Timothy, who is a Surge Regional Director in Asia. Pastor Timothy is a shining example of someone who has been fighting and winning in the invisible war. Come and hear his story of how he has courageously, through the Holy Spirit, been fighting and winning battles against the enemy. This is a weekend that you don't want to miss, so be sure to invite your family and friends, and let's fill the seats at all of our campuses. Next, I want you all to mark your calendars for the weekend of November 10th and 11th. We're going to begin our new series, Thanksgiving Therapy. Now, we're not going to ask you to interpret ink blots or anything like that, but together we are going to learn how to count our blessings so that doom and gloom can evaporate from our hearts and give birth to a wellspring of joy in our lives. Having a gratitude attitude can make Thanksgiving become a way of life. I want to invite you all back here tonight at 6 p.m. for The Healing Place. The Healing Place is an experience-driven service with an extended time of worship and healing prayer. And as we wrap up this series, we're going to have a special focus on spiritual warfare prayer. You do not want to miss it. We could all use some encouragement from time to time, couldn't we? Get Encouraged appointments are a time when our trained prayer team will listen and hear what God has on His heart that day for you. This is a time where you will leave feeling 100% encouraged. You can sign up for these appointments that take place on the first Saturday of the month online at northwoods.church/prayer. Hey, again, thank you guys so much for being here. We're so glad that you're at Northwoods this weekend as we wrap up our series, Invisible War.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. You can do better than that. Good morning. Great to see you guys. Let's give it up for our campuses and our online family as well. Great to have you guys with us. And I really am grateful to be back here with you today, even though as I stand here, I'm still a bit raw with the emotion of having lost my father this past Monday. I know some of you were aware of that, and I didn't want to act like that didn't happen. Probably had it been any other series, I would have just taken the weekend down and had someone else preach. But I really wanted to be here to finish this series and to shape a few other prayer handouts that I wanted you to have. And so I'm grateful that the Lord worked out all the details of this week. It's been an amazing week. I want to tell you a little bit about that before we head into the message. I know some of you, many of you, were praying And I first of all want to say thank you for that, because you are my extended family. I know I'm a pastor here and a leader here, but you are my spiritual family. And Susan and I felt your love, your thought, and your prayers. Those of you who have lost parents know how surreal it is when you wake up for the first time in your life on the other side of having lost a parent. And now both of mine are gone. But God couldn't have written the script any more perfectly this past week than he did with my father's home going. 94 years old. I preached his funeral on Thursday. And actually, you've heard me preach his funeral, because in 2015, I wrote a message, Lessons from My Father. When I finished that, I said, that's the message I'm going to preach at his funeral. But I also let him know, my dad's a shining example. I want to say to all of you who kind of worry about whether you're eating all the wrong things, based on my dad's example, you can eat all the wrong things and still live to be 94. So eat all the homemade ice cream you want. I think his secret was he didn't worry. So take that from him, okay? But you know, up until 2 weeks ago, I was scheduled to be on the road videotaping a project this past Monday all through the week. We were getting ready to unpack or prepare and unpack for you. This is something I think a lot of our small groups will use. It's called Route 66, and it's going to take you through an overview of God's Route 66, the 66 books of the Bible. And we're going to film it out on old Route 66 as we take you through book by book by book by book. We were getting ready to video the first 22 books. It's going to take a lot of videoing and editing and all that type of thing to get it ready, but we decided, based upon the busyness of the season and just the time crunch, that it would be better for us to just kind of push that back for a little bit. So that gave me the opportunity on Monday to be at a board meeting in Fort Wayne. I'm on the general board of our denomination, and so normally Susan doesn't go to those board meetings with me, but she thought on this one she would go. So you can just see how God was orchestrating things. I'm not out there on the road. I had an opportunity to be with my dad. I'm at the board meeting. My wife is with me. We decided last Sunday we'd head down towards Indianapolis, see our daughter and son-in-law and our little grandbabies. And then when they went to bed, we'd head on up to Fort Wayne. I'd go to my meeting. Susan had the opportunity to meet some friends and just have some good time in Fort Wayne. That's where we went to Bible college. That's where we met. You know, that's where our first church was. So we've got a lot of connection back there. About 10 o'clock, I was called out of my meeting. One of my sisters, hey, Dad's not doing real well. I didn't know at that point that they had been called about 12:30 in the morning, Monday morning, that because he apparently had an internal bleeding issue going on. He was refusing all treatment. He's been so ready to go since Mom died in 2010. He wasn't in any pain, but he had like stabilized by Monday morning. It's just that my three sisters who were in the area were there, and he said, what are you guys doing here? And Brenda explained to him that without treatment, without blood transfusions and all of that type of stuff, that the likelihood is that you won't have real long, and you're start finding it hard to breathe. Kind of explained to him what was going to go on, and he was like, that's fine. Noon, my brother came in from some farming he was done and showed up there, and Dad was like, what are you doing here, you know? And Phil's like, well, I just want to be here with you. I didn't know. I was heading home at about 3:30 when my meeting was over. I didn't know that at like 1 or 2, he had had a couple of little seizures, which now left him non-responsive. He was sitting in his chair, but pretty well glazed over, just looking ahead and not speaking anymore. He hadn't been speaking for several hours. And they were starting to give him morphine to just kind of keep him relaxed and no pain and this type of thing. So when I got to the door of his room at about 4:30 last Monday, I just kind of expected to walk in and he'd be the same chipper self. And my brother was at the door. I gave him a hug and he started crying, and I could tell, okay, we're kind of at the end. And as I walked in, Dad was seated in that chair where I'd seen him many times since he'd been in the nursing home for the last not quite 2 years, but he was looking right at me. I could tell his eyes knew I was there, but I didn't know he wasn't speaking. So I said, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" And as I headed towards him, my sister, who was sitting on the bed next to him, she had him by the hand, said, "Dad, do you know who that is?" And it'll always be special to me that when he wasn't speaking, the last words out of his mouth were, "It's Calvin." Now, my brother reminded me it's probably only appropriate that he said your name last because you're the one he was always yelling at. So I walked over there and began to cry and gave him a kiss and gave him a hug and just let him know how much I loved him and what a great dad he was. And, "Dad, I know you're ready to go home to be with Jesus, and he's coming for you soon. You get to see Mom, you know." We just had a special time there in the room for a couple of hours, and he was still there. They were continuing to give him morphine. I was sitting next to him holding his hand when they came in and put a little deal on him to measure his heartbeat and his blood pressure, and there was nothing that registered. But he was still there, and he was still, you know, his breathing was very shallow at this point. Susan and I decided, let's go get something to eat real quick, and we went out for a little while. When we came back, I was headed towards his room. I heard my name, and it was my family had gathered in this little kitchenette off to the side, and they said, "Hey, they're saying Dad's going to pass tonight. They don't want him to pass sitting in his chair." He never laid in the bed the whole time he was at the nursing home. He liked to sleep in his chair, but they wanted to lay him down, and they wanted to make sure that they had him out of his clothes. They put a little gown on and this type of thing. So they were preparing him for that. And it was probably 7:45 when we walked back to that room. He took his last breath at 8 o'clock. And we went in at 7:45, and it was like, oh my goodness, the change from 6:30 to 7:45, we could tell he was very, very close. He always had gospel music. His last couple of years, he stopped watching TV. The only time he had a little scooter, so he would get out of his chair and get in that scooter, and man, he'd ride that thing 30 miles an hour all over the people. "Look out, here comes Lloyd," you know. But he didn't want to watch. All he did was sit in his chair and listen to gospel music. And my brother, who's like a professional musician, plays the guitar and sings, had actually written some songs for him and had given him a whole CD of songs that he had written. And my brother-in-law had made him a CD with 80 songs on it that contained all of my brother's songs. And that's important because you just need to know, we weren't skipping that CD ahead to anything. And this really becomes a part of the story. I wanted to pray with him one more time. And so I just shut the CD off for a minute. And I said, "Guys, come on, let's come around Dad and let's pray." And we just thanked the Lord for him. We invited the Lord to just be there in power, encounter him in this moment. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We bound all fear. Why? Because Jesus, you're here with him. Just let him know that right now in this moment. And make it quick. Keep him from struggle and from pain. So we prayed, and then I turned the CD back on, and again, we couldn't have planned this. Dave was en route. My oldest brother was en route from Tucson. The minute he heard in the morning, he started coming. He had flown out of Phoenix, was going to get to Chicago and drive in, so his plane hadn't landed in Chicago yet, but he had no idea it was going to go this fast. None of us did. So he didn't get there. But guys, somewhere around 7:58 or so, that CD started playing the song that he wrote for Mom and Dad. It was really written after Mom's death, that on the night that you died, we gathered around your bed, and when you said you took your final breath, we sang your favorite song. And then it would go into Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And we did. We sang around my mom's bed that night when she took her final breath. But here were the words, just seconds before my dad took his final breath, because Dave had written a kind of a stanza for him, and the last lines said, "Dad still sings your favorite hymns, though he says it won't be long, and when it's time, we'll send him home on the words of his favorite song. And then it breaks into the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. And I'm up here with Dad while my whole family starts singing that. And he's gone. I was like, we couldn't have written this script. And so we're very, very grateful for all that God did in that moment. Though we grieve, we do so with the very real hope of seeing him again. In one of my gospel songs, I'm going to play it again today. What a meeting in the air that's going to be. If you lost a loved one, aren't you glad? There's going to be a meeting in the air one day. Amen? And we're going to enjoy that reunion. And so we're grieving in that hope. The Bible says we grieve not as those who have no hope. And we're not just talking about a wishful thinking. We have the very real hope. We're going to see our loved ones again. Now, I had a number of people ask, but we put it on the screen, that if you want to go and see any of the, I did his service, but you can go to youtube.com, just pull up the YouTube, and then you know how you want to listen to a song on YouTube or whatever, you can go to Archbold Evangelical Church, and the very first thing that will come up there is the memorial service for Lloyd Rickner. And if you just want to hear Dave's song, it's on there as well, but with the whole family singing. So don't listen to the singing. Just enjoy the sentiment, okay? It's like we did three or four songs for my dad's funeral, and then I preached the funeral. And again, just been an amazing week. I'm sitting here going, did that really happen? And yep, it happened. But it just makes me want to be faithful to Jesus and fight the good fight of faith. You know, death. I'm always reminded that death wasn't God's plan. It's the enemy who sowed sin and death and disease and destruction into this world. And yes, because we live in this fallen world, we are touched by those things as well. But the Bible assures us. I'm going to take you back through some verses that we've seen in this series. But Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 8, that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. And while it's true that ultimately when Jesus comes again, the devil and his angels and death will be finally destroyed in the lake of fire, but it's also true that even now, as I've said in this series, we're the foot soldiers doing mop-up duty between victory assured at the cross and victory secured when Jesus comes again. We are in training for reigning. And as such, Jesus wants us to use his power right now to destroy the devil's works wherever we find them, to show forth the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the power of the kingdom of God over all the plans and devices of the enemy. And so we ask the question in this final session, how can I walk in kingdom power? And listen to me, every child of God. I came back this weekend to tell you this. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your number one assignment is to destroy the devil's work in your domain. Not to cooperate with him. God's word to you when it comes to your battle with the enemy is found in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Why? So you can stand against anything the devil throws your way. The word used for be strong here is the word in the Greek from which we get dynamite, dunamis. And it's essentially telling us that God has given you what you need to blow up the devil's work and his schemes. The Apostle Paul speaks about the weapons available to us in 2 Corinthians 10. Look at this verse. Verses 3 and 4, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We don't pick up our guns and our knives and go after people because it's not a flesh and blood battle. No, on the contrary, our weapons have divine power, dunamis. To what? Demolish strongholds. I'm talking about satanic strongholds. We have weapons for that. Look at what Paul says in that same book, but in chapter 6. We walk in the power of God, dunamis, the power of God with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. So I want to alert you today to the weapons and equipment God has given you in order that you might walk in kingdom power and destroy the devil's works in your area of assignment and win your battles against his evil forces. Now, the activation of kingdom power happens in a number of key ways. And so I want you to get ready. We're going to take a lot of scripture again today. We're going to cover a lot of ground, but four keys to activating kingdom power. Here's key number one: carry your badge. Recognize that you have a badge that you can carry with you at all times. I mentioned in week one that you have authority based upon your position in Christ. Your enemy knows this. He wants to blind you to that fact or bluff you into thinking that your badge doesn't mean anything. But Ephesians 2 and verse 6, another foundational verse for this series, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That comes in a place where Paul got preaching and didn't use any periods or commas. He was so excited, but he talked first of all, before we get here, that Jesus, when he was raised up, was seated in the heavenly realms far above all power and dominion and authority, anything, any of the evil forces, not just above a little bit, far above. And then it says he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Where? Far above all of the powers and the authorities. And so this is letting you know in context that we share in Jesus Christ's ascension authority. Right? His ascension. I love the cross. The blood defeated the enemy, disarmed him. Love the resurrection. You know, the guarantee of life and the destruction of death. We don't talk enough about ascension. The ascension is all about authority because of where he's seated. And we are seated there with him far above all principalities and powers of this dark world. But here's the point when it comes to the activation of the authority that you have. You have to know that you carry a badge of authority. And at times, you need to use it. It's not a matter of how big and strong you are, or how big and strong you feel, or how weak you feel, but of who and what that badge represents. For instance, let's say that I go home from church today, and I find that a 6'6", 300-pound strong man has broken into my home. There he is. Now, I like to think I'm a tough guy, but I don't know that I could get him out of there. So I say, what are you doing in my house? Well, I just decided to drop by for a little while. Well, I'm sorry, but you're not invited. It doesn't matter. Dude, we're going to eat lunch in a little bit. Don't mind if I do. I didn't invite you for lunch. It's okay. I want to eat anyway. And so he just eats the whole thing. I'm like, dude, you need to leave. He says, well, I first want to watch a little football. So he goes over and takes my chair and watches football for the whole afternoon. And I'm like, would you please go? It's now nighttime. We're getting ready for bed. He said, you know what? Don't mind if I spend the night. He goes up and takes my bed. Susan and I have to go find something else, right? And it's like I'm pleading. This guy's just making himself a complete nuisance. After several days, I'm worn down from pleading. He's not leaving. There's nothing I can do to make him leave because he's bigger and stronger than I am. That's a picture of how the enemy seeks to run roughshod over our lives as he tries to convince us there's nothing we can do about it. And some of you, without even knowing it, are allowing him to hassle you because you don't think there's anything you can do to stop him. But what if that strong man picked on the wrong guy and broke into the home of a police officer who carried a badge of authority? It wouldn't matter if that officer was the size of Barney Fife. He wouldn't have to lift a finger. All he would have to do to evict that strong man is flash the badge and say, in the name of the law, I'm not only commanding you to leave this house now, but I'm putting you under arrest for breaking and entering. And if there was so much as a shred of resistance, that officer knows he could call for backups, and in a matter of moments, he would have all the reinforcements he needed to take care of that strong man. Listen, child of God in the heavenly realms, that is who you are. You carry a badge of authority as one seated with Jesus. Pick it up and use it when the enemy is coming against you. The language of that resistance may vary based upon what the problem is that's coming against you. But even if you're not sure, you say, if there is a spirit behind this, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to cease and desist. Guys, here's the truth. If you don't utilize the badge, your enemy won't recognize the badge. You can be seated in a place of authority and he can be running roughshod over you because you're not using the badge that he recognizes. You've got to use it. And if you're going to use it, you have to make sure that you're under authority. This is why the Bible says in James 4 and verse 7, this is a foundational verse in warfare as well, and the order really matters. Submit yourselves to God. We could say, first, submit yourselves to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit, then resist. See, you can't be walking around with your life wide open to enemy influence, playing on his playground, living in sin, and then think that he's going to listen to you when you use the badge. Because you're not coming from a place of authority at that point. I wanted to come back to this. We had drawn this picture up here in the first week of the series talking about Christ being raised, and way down here where the powers of darkness, Christ had been raised far above them. And where were we? We were up here seated on the throne with him, right? But I said we're also down here fighting the battle, trench warfare. And I look at this as kind of like a shield and some of the weapons that we're going to look at today. But here's what happens when we walk out from under the authority of Jesus Christ and assume we can just play on the devil's playground, live in sin, just, well, he'll forgive me. Yeah, he can. Like I said, Jesus can forgive you, but if you're going to open the door, you're going to find that the enemy will take advantage. And so here's what that looks like. Here you are, child of God, and you're getting harassed, but you don't have the shield. You don't have... You're letting the arrows fly right on in. And you can be rebuking the devil all you want, even though you do have a place of authority, you are compromising your authority because you are leaving the door wide open. That's why the Bible says, submit yourself to God. Bring yourself under his authority. Make sure you're covered. Make sure you're not just opening the door to sin in your life. And that you're claiming the blood of Christ and his forgiveness in your life and walking in righteousness. And I'm telling you, when you pick up that badge, it'll contain an authority that the enemy recognizes. I want to say, I have more authority for my responsibilities than you have, and you have more authority for your responsibilities than I have, but I don't have more authority here than you have. The only difference between me and some of you is I know that that badge works because I've used it a lot. And some of you haven't used it enough, and you're like, well, I don't know if I would know how, and so the devil's got you into all kind of doubt because you don't, no. He knows you have authority. The question is, do you? You got to pick up the badge and use it. So carry the badge. That's key number one. And then key number two is this. Put on your armor. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 is the great warfare passage. It starts out, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil and his evil schemes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, right? And then he gets to verse 13, and Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that means when you're facing the evil one, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, when the smoke's cleared and the battle's over, you will still be standing. How am I to do that? Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. And Paul lists there six pieces of armor or equipment with which we're to face the enemy. He was very familiar with the armor because of how much time he spent chained to Roman soldiers. So I'm going to give you just a quick overview of each one, but I've also put these together on a handout for you. So it just becomes second nature for you to grab for the armor of God at different times. Sometimes I just grab pieces as I need them. I lift up the shield of faith. You know, I put on the helmet of salvation. These types of things. So it's not like a legalistic thing that I got to sit down every morning or I'm not going to be covered. But the point is, as you familiarize yourself with the armor, man, you can just use, it'll become second nature for you to use it. On the back of this one today, I've given you a generational prayer that you want to pray through. I'm actually going to teach a little bit about that. So you come tonight at 6 o'clock for our prayer time. And I'm going to teach a little bit more on generational prayer. We're going to do some prayers around generational. We're going to have some healing prayer and this type of thing. But I wanted you to have this handout as well. So what I'm going to do is kind of take you very quickly, just highlight the different pieces of our equipment without going into too much detail. But the prayer will help you know how to put this stuff on and make use of it, okay? So Paul lists, first of all, the belt of truth. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And in putting on your armor, everything begins and ends with the belt of truth because everything else fastens to it. So he's going to tell us later to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness fastened into the belt of truth. So you got to put the belt of truth on first. And it makes sense because in warfare, everything begins or ends with truth. The enemy is always seeking to deceive you. And if he can get you buying his lies, lies about God, lies about yourself, lies about others, lies about your circumstances, if he can get you onto those lies, then he can win. I always say behind every foothold in a person's life, there's a lie that they have believed. So we got to blow up those lies and replace them with truth. All right? So when you put on the belt of truth, that's what you're doing. And then the breastplate of righteousness. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, and it was the breastplate that covered the vital organs of the soldier, and it's the righteousness of Jesus over our lives that protects us physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. So I claim his righteousness over my life each day. I put on his righteousness. And man, I answer when the enemy's accusing me about something, I answer with the righteousness of God. I have the righteousness of Jesus on my life. It's not just his righteousness, but see, that reminds me that I have a right to walk personally in righteousness today as well. Not just a right, I have a responsibility, and I can, because he empowers me to walk in his righteousness and close the door to any arrows that the enemy would shoot my way. I do not have to give myself to the compromising consequences of sin in my life because I have on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, put on the shoes of readiness with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So the shoes are shoes of peace, but the cleats that help you stick in the ground is readiness. Okay? So it's kind of two things going here. Readiness is your, because you're walking with God, you're ready to share the hope of the gospel wherever you go with people who need to know Christ. And you'll be much more ready to do that if you're walking in peace and you're not compromised by all kinds of fear and anxiety. Every time you're ready to share with somebody, you hear the lie of the enemy and says, who are you to share with them? Look at your life. You're a mess. Shut those voices up. And when we put on the shoes of peace, I'm going to show you how to bind fear, bind anxiety, and stand in the peace of God and let it cover your heart. Then our next piece is the shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you are to extinguish. Did you get this? By which you can extinguish all. I tell you, I've studied Greek and I know that that word all literally means all. All of the flaming arrows of the evil one that are coming against you. Where do those arrows fly? How does he shoot them at you? He shoots them at your mind. Lies to you. Tries to deceive you. I just had a guy come up after the first service. He's been gone for a year and a half. Come back. Said, Kel, I had to come and just ask your forgiveness. I said, forgiveness for what? He said, oh man, when I left here, I was so angry at you. If I'd hear Kel or I had Northwoods, I was like, angry at me for what? Apparently I wasn't preaching like he likes to, you know. But I didn't know that. But see, he was caught in a trap there. Flaming arrows of the evil one bringing accusation against his pastor. Not because the pastor did anything to him. You see what I'm saying? And this is what he does. He shoots arrows at us. How do you defeat that? You lift up the shield of faith and you respond with the word of God. I come against that lie in Jesus' name. When he tries to tell you, look at you. You really sure God loves you? Well, I'm going to quote Romans 8:39. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. See, you know the word of God. You lift up the shield of faith in the word of God. And douse those arrows when they come. And then the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Get something over your mind. Get something over your brain. And this literally, this piece is called hope. The hope of salvation. This is inviting God to shield your heart and your mind with the hope that is yours because you're saved, forgiven, free, and secure for all eternity, and you belong to God. And so you invite hope to your life. You speak hope. You claim hope over your heart and mind. And you will find as we're putting this on, we're going to bind all depressing, despairing, discouraging, defeating thoughts in Jesus' name because we have put on hope and we have a right, as the Bible says, to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, this one's actually our only offensive weapon here. The rest are to protect us. This one, boy, we get on we play offense with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that word, as I've taught you before, there's the logos, the written word of God, but there's the rhema, which is me speaking the word of God, and that's rhema. So I take a word from God's word, and I speak it. In Jesus' name, just like Jesus defeated the enemy when he came against him and said, it is written. And he quote the word. Get that out and slash when the enemy comes. And it will be powerful in your life. Now, guys, again, that's just a quick overview. The armor will enable you to stand against the enemy and defeat him. But understand, it's your job to utilize it and activate it in your life. God has given it to you, but he won't put it on for you. You're in training for reigning. So he gives you the equipment. He wants you to learn to use it, but you've got to pick it up and use it. So carry your badge and put on your armor. And then, key number three, activate your weapons. There are three primary weapons the Lord has given us in the fight against the enemy. Satan recognizes them and he flees when you pick them up and use them against him. And we've already mentioned the one, which is the word of God, but that's the word of God on your lips. But here are the three primary weapons, and they are powerful. The name of Jesus, the blood of the cross, and the word of God. First, understand that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. When I've sat in deliverance appointments, dealing with spiritual strongholds that people may be carrying, And it comes time to kick those squatters off of God's property and kick them out of people's lives. Guys, if there is a demon present and the doors have been closed and the ground has been renounced and torn up, I know that demon will go. He must go in Jesus' name. I've seen it over and over and over again. And it is not because of Cal Rickner that they flee. It's because Cal Rickner is operating in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, and they recognize him. And incidentally, this is going to become the differentiator in the days ahead, even as it was in Elijah's day. I believe we are an Elijah generation. And our culture and the world around us has become just like Israel in Elijah's day, where the word of God has been shunned. There is the worship of all kinds of false gods, just as they were worshiping the Baals. And Elijah was called to Mount Carmel to demonstrate the power of Almighty God. And he said, if Baal is God, then worship him. But if Jehovah is God, then worship him. And there is coming a day where the church, if we do not operate in power, we become irrelevant. The Apostle Paul even said in his day, when he was talking about some people claiming to be servants of Christ, he said, I want to know how well they talk. I want to know what kind of power they have, because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Do you remember when Elijah said, douse the altar with water, and the God who answers by fire is the God? And so the prophets of Baal danced all over till sometime afternoon, and nothing happened. And they're cutting themselves, and he's going, cry louder. Maybe he's on the toilet. Maybe he's reading the paper. Who knows, you know? Mocking them. And then when he called on Almighty God, the fire fell, demonstrating that there's a God in Israel. I think he wants people to know there's a God in Peoria. And you want to know how I believe that fire is going to be demonstrated in our day? Particularly in a culture that has bought the lie that all religions are essentially the same. No, the demons only recognize one name, and that is the name of Jesus. They don't come out. They don't come out or flee. And I'm not disrespecting Muslims. I am telling you, if Muhammad has the power, then the demons would flee in his name. They don't come out in his name. They don't come out in the name of Buddha. They don't come out in the name of Baha'u'llah. They come out in the name of the one who defeated them at the cross and disarmed them. They know the name of Jesus, and they flee when we call on the name of Jesus. They know him. Church, do you know him? Kind of preaching right now, aren't I? He alone occupies the place of complete and final authority over them. The powers of darkness recognize but one name. It's time we get clear. There's only one name before whom all must bow and every tongue confess. And here's a warfare proverb that says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's a warfare image there. The righteous run to it and are safe. There's power, there's pardon, there's provision, there's protection in the name of Jesus. Yes, I've seen demons flee and diseases healed in that name, but I've also witnessed the immediacy of his miraculous presence in moments when all I had time to do was call on that name. I've told you before about the night Susan and I were on the ice-covered back roads of Iowa, little gravel roads, but I mean slick. We couldn't go more than 10, 15 mile an hour, making our way at midnight to her folks' place for Christmas. And I was approaching a hill on one of those narrow back roads, a pickup truck came flying over that hill, going much too fast for the conditions. And there was not enough room on that road for both of us. We were headed right for each other. And I was no further away from him than that front row when I just braced myself and got ready for impact. And out of my mouth came, "Jesus!" I don't know how to tell you what happened. I think I just went like that. He might have went like that. But I saw those lights right here at my door, ready for impact. But somehow we just did what I call a synchronized slide by and went on my way. I don't know, guys. I don't know. But that the enemy may have had an assignment on my life that night. What I do know is I have seen the name of Jesus thwart his plans over and over and over again. And he will do the same for you until it's time for you to go home, till your job is done. That's the name of Jesus. You call on him, loved one, and you will, listen, you will just know that when you do, the unseen angelic hosts will be dispatched to disrupt the plans of the enemy in the name of Jesus. But secondly, you activate as well the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. I love Revelation 12:11. It's looking at history from its end, and the saints are now with God, and it says, it's looking back at our time. And it says they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, overcame the accuser who was seeking to bring him down, overcame Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of the testimony is getting the blood, getting the name of Jesus on your lips and standing with him and being fearless no matter what the culture throws at you. They did not love their lives even unto death. They knew they were walking with the one who has destroyed death. You will become fearless when you simply say to him, "Lord, my life is in your hands. Do with me as you will." And you will start lifting up your badge and you'll start coming against the enemy in the blood of Christ. You are going to see. You're going to see chains broken. You're going to see him defeated. And how does that sound? You know, sometimes you just need to activate your weapons and say things like, "Through the power of the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ, I come against you, Satan. I claim you disarmed and defeated in Jesus' name. I command you, get your hands off my property. I command you to loose your hold. I command you to leave. Lift the blood against him, wherever he may be harassing you." Activate your weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of Christ, the word of God. They are powerful against the enemy. And then finally, one more. We wrap up with this. Utilize your kingdom keys. A few weeks ago, a teacher sent me an email and said, "Much of what you spoke about has to do with overcoming personal footholds. What do you do when you recognize footholds over your school?" Or we might say over your family, over your business, over your city, over your nation. Well, this is the answer to that. You are in training for reigning, and another significant secret to warfare is utilizing the keys Jesus has given you for binding and loosing. And those of you who are going with me to Israel next Sunday, we leave. You will soon see a statue of Peter like this at Capernaum, his hometown, Jesus' home base of ministry. And there in his right hand, I just noticed a couple of years ago that he is holding keys. And I thought, that's really cool. And then it was like, it was even cooler, and I recognized he had two keys. I said, "Guys, how many keys do they have?" They said, "Two." I said, "Hang on to that, because when we get to Caesarea Philippi," which is where we go right after Capernaum, I said, "I want to teach you about the keys, because that's where Jesus taught his disciples about the keys. He took them to Caesarea Philippi, to the gates of hell, temple of Pan, where people have sex with goats, they're dancing goats. I mean, it was just a despicable, evil place, and he teaches them that I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." Not that the gates of hell are trying to knock down the church. It's the church has battering rams and we're knocking down the gates of hell and they're not going to prevail. We're on the offensive. And he says, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to be leaving." And they're like, "What? We're to take on the gates of hell without you? How are we going to do that?" I love this verse, Matthew 16:19. Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth. One of those keys is called binding. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, one of those keys is called loosing. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Jesus was saying, you have keys for binding and loosing. Use them. See, here's what that sounds like. Let's say that a teacher recognizes the influence of the enemy through bad attitudes in the administration, through apathy among students, through rebellion and misbehavior. Remember again, we don't fight flesh and blood. The enemy keeps wanting us to get after the people who are doing these things. Jesus is saying, no, look above. See what the enemy is doing, and the way you spot that is by function. What's going on in that school right now? And so you say something like this, in Jesus' name, I come against every demonic power with an assignment of division, rebellion, and apathy in this school. By the authority of Jesus, I bind you now. And I command you to release your hold on this school. I loose over this school harmony and joy and peace and the righteousness of the kingdom in place of restlessness and division. See, you bind what doesn't belong to the kingdom of God and you release what should be there. And yes, the enemy will try to wear you down and make you feel like you're not accomplishing anything because it may not happen in a day's time. You think, well, that really worked. Now you're buying his lie. Try to make you feel like you're all alone, just like Elijah felt when he was fighting the prophets of Baal. He's all depressed. God, I'm the only one. God said, no, I got 7,000 more. I haven't bowed the knee to Baal. This is why you've got to find a few other prayer warriors who understand the warfare that you know about and get together and begin to pray. And if you can't do it in the privacy of your school, because, okay, maybe the freedom from religion folks will come after. You know what? You go to somebody's home. You go to rest. I don't care how you do it. Get people together and pray, guys. And I'm telling, the more people we bring together to fight these assignments over our family, our school, our business, our city, our nation, the more we stand together and press the attack, the more we're going to see the darkness driven back and the power of the kingdom of God breaking in. You are the foot soldiers. And he has given you everything you need. Carry your badge. Put on your armor. Activate your weapons. And utilize your keys. Let me just wrap it up this way, friends. It is yours as a child of God to enforce the victory in this invisible war. Remembering that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. It is yours to walk in kingdom power and to activate kingdom power wherever you go. And as you do, the gates of hell will not prevail. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, all to the glory of his name. Amen. Come on, let's stand for prayer. And we're going to make our one final faith declaration. We're in the locker room getting ready to go out and throw some haymakers this week in the heavenly realms. And so when I say ready, you say, ready. Oh, you're not even close to ready. When I say ready, you say,
ready.
All right, now you're ready. So here's what we're doing, all right? In Jesus' name.
I declare
that by the name of Jesus,
by the blood of the cross,
and by the word of God,
I have the victory.
Now give him praise. Give him praise. You have the victory. Go use your keys, and God will show up and work mightily through you. God bless you guys. If you need prayer for anything, you come on down. I hope many of you will come out for the prayer time tonight in the chapel at 6 o'clock. And thank you for being here. We're going to have come back next week. You got to see Pastor Timothy, okay? It's going to be awesome. Those of you watching online, thank you for being with us again today. And I want to just say, regarding next week, we will not be able to broadcast Pastor Timothy, okay? He's working in a place where his life is in danger. This man's a firebrand for God. If you're anywhere close and you can get here, you come next week. If you can't be here, we are going to play you another message from a couple years ago where I introduced the Surge Project. And I hope that will be a blessing to you as well. God bless you and have a great week.